Here's an opportunity for you to get up to 75% off many of the resources you hear us promote on Issues Etc. It's Concordia Publishing House's warehouse sale from 8 in the morning till noon on Saturday, November 3rd. Concordia Publishing House is located south of Interstate 44 at 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis. The 2012 warehouse sale, Saturday morning, November the 3rd at Concordia Publishing House, 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis.
Here's a 1-2. Runner takes second, and that ends it. Cardinals win game one, 6-4. Alan Craig corralled it at first and fed Jason Mott. And it was anything but routine to end the night here in San Francisco. Here is a 2-2 pitch. High fly ball to right. He's in the lineup now. 2-1, St. Louis. Into center. Jay. Game over. Cardinals take game three up 2-1 as they win it 3-1 behind Loesch and Jason Mott.
Some Cardinals highlights from the National League Championship Series between the San Francisco Giants and the St. Louis Cardinals. It's been a great series. It's been an improbable as last year's run was for this Midwest team, the St. Louis Cardinals, and tonight is game four of that championship series. We have yet to see how it's going to be, but it really has been one night after another, one game after another of unbelievable turns. Joining us to talk about the National League Championship Series, Rick Horton. He's a St. Louis Cardinals broadcaster, regular guest, spent 7 years pitching for the Cardinals, the Dodgers, and the White Sox, and he is area director of the Greater St. Louis Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Rick, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Always good to be with you guys, and it sure is an exciting time of year again for the Cardinals.
It is. Now, this is Christian Radio, so you can't fib on this one.
Well, hopefully, no matter where I am, I'm being honest and truthful. That's my hope. But obviously, I love to be on Christian Radio, so we can talk about some of the stuff that it goes beyond just the numbers and games won and all that.
Okay, then truthfully, did you think back in April that this team would be playing in the National League Championship Series without Albert Pujols, without Tony La Russa, without Dave Duncan, and with their ace pitcher Chris Carpenter out for most of the season?
Well, in the winter months, I thought no chance. In spring training, I thought no way. There were times during early part of the season I thought, well, this team's pretty good. And then as the season kind of went on, they just didn't seem to ever come together. I was planning all my off-season FCA and house stuff, and I was not thinking I would still be talking about Cardinal baseball right now. So, I mean, I honestly would say, we always go up and down in terms of what particular day it is and time of year and whether they won the night before and how they're playing. But I did not have a lot of confidence that this would be a team that certainly would be this deep into a playoff. I mean, I would have said 5% chance.
So what happened to defy your expectations there?
It's been a good perfect storm in a sense. I'm not sure storm's the right word for that, but the bullpen all of a sudden just came together and has gotten good. And there's a couple of new guys in that. Ben Mojica, that they got via the trade, was just kind of a nice piece to make everybody else better. And some of their young players, not only have they developed, but they've developed faster than I would have thought. Trevor Rosenthal, Shelby Miller, both have pitched well in September, and Rosenthal in particular has become a huge weapon out of the bullpen. So I think the bullpen getting stronger, some of that young players just doing well. Pete Cosma, another example, a guy that was a 230 hitter in AAA and kind of disappointment in some ways to the Cardinals in terms of how fast he was developed overnight at the big league level, which you would not have predicted.
How do you compare the atmosphere of the Cardinals locker room to other postseason locker rooms?
I believe that they have a resolve, is the best word I can think of. They are resolved to not quit and to be together and to be a team. And, we throw around words in sports of chemistry and whatever you want to say. I just think there's a connection and a trust that you know, maybe it's easier to explain on Christian radio to folks that of how important it is to have a real connection, and maybe love is a piece of that. And I don't mean the gooey kind of love, but I mean just caring about one another in a deeper way. And I think that takes time to develop, and sometimes it doesn't develop. And so, you know, it's hard to understand it if you're not in that kind of setting, but we all have relationships that just work. They connect. People will throw around the words like synergy and all that other stuff, and you know, I just think it's just a real care and concern for each other, and I think that characterizes this clubhouse right now. And they've come together with a resolve to win, and they care about each other. You find when they talk about the game, they're always talking about their teammates, they're not talking about themselves, and I think that's a good sign.
So tonight's pitching matchup, what are your thoughts there?
Well, you know, Wainwright has not been as good as he's been in the past. So, you know, I'm not confident he's going to be great. I'm just hoping he's good enough. And, you know, with Tim Lincecum, he's not as good as he's been in the past. And, you know, you hate to root against somebody, but I'm doing that now with Lincecum. I hope he figures it out next year, but not right now. And so you've got two outstanding pitchers 2 years ago who are both kind of been pretty average this year for them. And so they're both capable of kind of, you know, pulling it off. But, you know, I think Wainwright is such a competitor that, you know, it's hard to bet against him.
How would you compare them just in terms of similarities and differences?
Well, Wainwright is, Wainwright's not flashy. He's a bulldog. They're both bulldogs. They're both very, very competitive and very, very confident guys. And I think that's, you know, that's a must, really, at that level. It's a must if you're an elite pitcher. Lincecum has more of a flair and kind of almost awkwardness to his the way he throws and his mechanics. Wainwright's a lot more kind of standard in the way he delivers a pitch. So Lincecum is a little bit more kind of up and down and volatile because of his mechanics. Lincecum, when he's right, is one of the best, if not the best, in the National League. But he's not right now. So you know, they're both going to throw strikes. I don't expect them to have issues with command and control. It's just really who makes the least mistakes. Wainwright's 6'6", 6'7", and Lincecum, if you walk next to him, you'd think, you know, this guy's a high school senior. I mean, he's just he's not a big guy, 165, 170 pounds at max, and he throws the ball 95 miles an hour. So he's a bit of his actual nickname is the Freak, and I think it's because he's got just an incredible arm for a guy that's light.
We're talking about Cardinals baseball, the National League Championship Series. Rick Horton is our guest. He's a St. Louis Cardinals broadcaster. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about outfielder Carlos Beltran. Will he play tonight in Game 4? Also, my favorite, Jason Mott. We'll talk about Matheny's performance as manager in his rookie manager year. It's been amazing. How does regular season compare with the postseason? And then we'll compare the team from last year, the World Series team, with this National League Championship Series team, as the Cardinals go here in St. Louis. Now, speaking of St. Louis, Concordia Publishing House has an annual event. It's kind of a big deal. It's their annual warehouse sale. They're going to be doing this Saturday, November the 3rd from 8 until noon in the morning. You can get up to 75% off of many of the resources that you hear us talk about here on Issues, etc. Concordia Publishing House is located at 3558 South Jefferson, south of Interstate 44 in St. Louis. It's the annual Concordia Publishing House warehouse sale from 8 in the morning until noon on Saturday, November the 3rd. Come in. You can get all kinds of savings at Concordia Publishing House. Again, their address, 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis. When we come back, the big question a lot of people have still hanging out in the air is, will the bat of Carlos Beltran and his defensive skills be on evidence tonight in Game 4 of the National League Championship Series? Rick Horton is our guest.
Leo was the Lipper, Ducky Country Red, Karowski too, and Slatsy had that golden glove of glue. Talking baseball in St. Louis.
With that man. Coming Friday, November 2nd, and Saturday, November 3rd, Issues Etc. 24. It's a live 24-hour broadcast of Issues Etc. from 3 in the afternoon Central Time on November 2nd through 3 in the afternoon Central on November 3rd. Issues Etc. 24, Friday, November 2nd, and Saturday, November 3rd. Listen live at issuesetc.org.
Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, is a quarterly publication for the Confessional Lutheran, and they have a special 20th anniversary CD. This CD contains every issue of Logia for the last 20 years. It's a PDF file with search capabilities and bookmarks. This special anniversary CD is an excellent addition to your theological library. You can pre-order it for just $40. That's 50 cents per issue. Find out more at logia.org, logia.org.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
No gimmicks, no shticks, just straightforward preaching and teaching in accord with Scripture and the Lutheran confessions. By the book liturgy, right from the hymnal. No glitz, just Christ crucified for sinners like us. We're Grace Lutheran Church in Racine, Wisconsin. Come receive God's gifts with us. Find out more about us at GraceLutheranRacine, that's all one word, .net. And like you, we're proud supporters of Issues, Etc.
What is the biggest misconception about the worship wars? I've written an article for the latest Issues, Etc. journal titled Behind the Music, The Real Worship War. You can read it by subscribing to the Issues, Etc. journal. Just look for the subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The latest journal also contains Hisham Chihab's article, From Muslim Extremist to Follower of Jesus. Subscribe to the online Issues, Etc. journal, issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. We're talking about the National League Championship Series. Rick Horton is our guest. He spent 7 years pitching for the Cardinals, Dodgers, and White Sox, and he's the area director of the Greater St. Louis Fellowship of Christian Athletes and a St. Louis Cardinals broadcaster. Let's talk a little bit about outfielder Carlos Beltran. Do you think he'll be playing tonight?
I don't, but I would not be surprised if he does. I think it might be better if he doesn't. I think if the Cardinals would have lost yesterday, they might have had him back in the lineup, rushed him back. But I think the win kind of gives you a feeling like, you know, okay, why not let Matt Carpenter play? And I think Carpenter's ability off the bench has been, you know, such a plus for the Cardinals. I don't think it's much of a stretch to just say, hey, we're pretty comfortable with Matt Carpenter out there. And Beltran is a guy, the reason I don't want him to see him play tonight is Beltran is a guy that will play hurt and then develop kind of an awkward and bad swing, and he'll get out of his kind of routine in terms of seeing the ball well and having a good solid base. So I think that might be a bad thing to do long term.
So let's talk about my favorite Cardinals pitcher, excluding yourself, of course, but the closer, Jason Mott, who played two full innings last night, 8 and 9, usually just as 9. Are you concerned about his availability tonight?
Yeah, I think he probably will be available for a hitter or two if needed, and I think Mike Matheny would prefer not to use him. But I think I think he's going to prepare himself to get ready to pitch and hope. I think most hope that he's not needed. But I think if push comes to shove and the game's on the line and you need somebody to get an out or two, I think Mott will be ready. And one thing I'd say about him, and he's your favorite guy, I don't know if you follow him on Twitter or not, but he has wonderful statements of faith. Often when it comes to how he deals with success and when he deals with failure, he confronts it in a very cool way and talks about you know, his imperfection and his identity is beyond being a pitcher. So I would just encourage folks to follow and look for Jason Mott on Twitter. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised by what you hear from him.
I'm curious about him and Chris Carpenter, who both seem to have kind of a place on that team of being kind of the fuel, the engine on that team, yeah, at least in terms, yeah, of morale. Am I wrong about that?
No, I think that's right. I think what you have to have on every baseball team, and it's a little bit like football. I mean, you can have a leader on the offense, but you know, you need one on the defense, and you know, you need a leader in the defensive backfield. You need a leader on special teams, and I think in baseball, you need to have somebody who kind of pulls things together in the bullpen. You need a starting pitcher that kind of does it, and those two certainly handle that. But you also need somebody on the field that does it. You look at the leadership that Yadier Molina brings on the field, and I'd say he handles kind of the hitters and the players just by his example of how he plays, and he is a incredibly smart baseball guy. Yachty is hasn't been swinging the bat well the last few days either, but he has really grown a lot in his leadership, and so I would throw him into that mix as well.
Okay. You mentioned this before, but maybe a little more detail. How do you explain the success of the Cardinals' bullpen in the postseason, in particular in the postseason? We've got a 1.93 earned run average, and that's in 37 and one-third innings. How do you explain the postseason for the bullpen?
Well, it's almost like this little thing by osmosis. Once something happens, then you get a feel good thing, and then you have a good day, and then the good day leads another good day, and it leads to another good day. And there are ebbs and flows of bullpens that happen, and you just kind of hope that it all works at the right time. And it is. It's, you know, it's the same guys. I mean, it's not like they're throwing differently. They're throwing better. I think they're throwing with more confidence. And I would say maybe that's a good word to explain the difference is, you know, when things aren't going well as a reliever, and I've been out there, you know, the phone rings and everybody looks at each other and you don't ever say it verbally, but the thought is, uh-oh, well, who is it? And what bad's going to happen next? You just have this kind of sinking feeling because things aren't going well. But when it's going well, the phone rings and you can't wait to get it. You know, you're going to do your job. You know, the guy behind you is going to do his job, and you just can't wait to get in to pitch. And sometimes that, you know, confidence is really at the core of that.
Okay, manager Mike Matheny, who probably did not have the greatest vote of confidence in him from the fans when he was picked. How do you rate his performance? Let's first talk about the regular season.
I think he did a very, very good job leading this team. Mike is a leader of men, and I must say at the beginning, you know, you try to be as unbiased as you possibly can be. And for me to talk about Mike Matheny, it's impossible for me to be unbiased because I just love the guy. And we've been friends a long time, but I know him as a leader. I don't agree with everything that he does on the field. You're never going to do that. I think there's a growth period for him to kind of get up to speed with the moves that happen very quickly on the field that may surprise you as a manager of how many moves ahead you have to think. I think he's gotten better at that as time has progressed. But I think during the regular season, there were times where he might have been a little slow to make a move or a little bit behind what was happening. But in terms of his leadership of his players, I would give him an A+.
What about postseason? What do you make of his performance there?
I think he's grown in the postseason. And I also think he's relaxing a little more in the postseason, which is a bit of a kind of an ironic statement. Mike, as a player, and again, I went through his career and was working as a chaplain for the team at the time, and I know Mike very, very well, and he was wound as tight as you can be wound as a player. And, you know, he admitted that. He talked about it. He just could never let the game go and was just, I mean, intense, and to the point where he could never enjoy playing. He didn't really enjoy playing baseball because he was so responsible and cared so much, and he just never could kind of get that right kind of you care, but you're also going to relax and forget about it and move on kind of attitude, which I think players need to have, kind of wore him out. And I think he brought a little bit of that to his managing this year, but somehow I think he's gotten a little bit more loose, and that might not be the right word, but a little more comfortable with dealing with wins and losses and not taking them so to heart every single time. You know, managers got to make a choice, and a player has to execute. And if they don't execute, you know, you shouldn't have to lose sleep over that at night. I mean, you make the best choice, you know your team, move on, and that's easy to say, but for a guy like Mike Matheny, very, very hard to do. But I think he's grown in that.
It sounds like you are pretty confident about a future for the Cardinals, given the young talent that is on display, especially here in the postseason.
17 out of the 25 players on this Cardinal roster have come through the system, and a lot of them are young, and a lot of the arms out of the bullpen are really good. 17 out of 25, to give it some context, the Oakland A's, who were in the playoffs, three of their 25 players came through their system. So they got trades, they signed older players, they signed free agents. So the continuity question isn't as good in terms of the development of players in their system. The Cardinals just seem to have been getting it right for the last few years in terms of drafting the right guys, developing them at the right speed, And so you develop a guy like Alan Craig. You don't have to rush him to the big leagues, have him fail because you need him so desperately. And there are other teams that do that. You can bring him along slowly, let him continue to develop. Now he's one of your stars. So minor league players like Colton Wong and Michael Wacha and there are others, Matt Adams, are outstanding players in the minor leagues, but you don't need them desperately. And I think that bodes well for the future of this organization.
So overall, how would you compare this year's Cardinals team with last year's World Championship team?
That's really interesting. Well, so many of the same guys are there other than the major ones that you mentioned before. I mean, talk about not, and major pieces missing. Dave Duncan and Tony La Russa and Albert Pujols are pretty major pieces to what happened a year ago. But you still, you know, you got Freeze and Craig and Holiday in the middle of that lineup. And you know, Beltran almost became kind of the replacement for Berkman and what he did. And I think Chris Carpenter coming back has made it feel a little bit more like last year's team. I would say this year's team is a little bit on the offensive side, a little bit deeper. I think they have more guys with power and more guys contributing, and you're not really just relying on Albert to be the guy. I think there are more players. I think this year's team is a little bit better defensively. And I think Descalzo playing second base is part of that, and other guys improving in their position. So, and John Jay being the everyday center fielder, I think from the get-go, he's
unbelievable,
been outstanding defensively and fun to watch.
Okay, you are the area director for the Greater St. Louis Fellowship of Christian Athletes. You mentioned it here. What's coming up for the FCA?
Well, we have a dinner gala coming up in November, and stlfca.org is the way to find out information about our it's our major fundraising event for the year. But we also have a lot of student events going on. We have a Girls Weekend of Champions, which, you know, if there's a high school girl athlete that needs to hear the gospel and needs to be with other students from across the St. Louis area that want to find out how do you compete in a godly way, and that's what we're trying to train young gals to do. That's coming up as well, and we have really expanded over the last couple of years. We have grown to 160 huddles on campuses throughout the region, and we're just so excited about that. So just globally, stlfca.org, you can find out information. But if there's a young athlete that just kind of needs some direction beyond just the X's and O's, that's why FCA exists in our public schools and private schools, and we would love to help connect to a group in one of those high schools, middle schools, and colleges in the St. Louis area.
Folks, you will find a link to the Greater St. Louis Fellowship of Christian Athletes at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Rick Horton is a St. Louis Cardinals broadcaster. He spent 7 years pitching for the Cardinals, the Dodgers, and the White Sox, and he is area director of the Greater St. Louis Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Rick, thank you very much for your time, and go Cards.
Glad to do it. I appreciate it. Good to be with you.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to be reviewing this book from Joel Osteen, his latest. It's called I Declare, 31 Promises to Speak Over Your Life. Joel Osteen says, our words have creative power. Whenever we speak something either good or bad, we give life to what we're saying, and too many people say negative things about themselves. They don't realize that they are prophesying their futures. That's what Joel Osteen says. We'll see what Pastor Jeremy Rohde has to say about this book tomorrow. And then Monday on Issues Etc., it's Reformation Week. We'll study a hymn of Martin Luther each day next week. I'm Todd Wilkin. Go Cards. Talk with you tomorrow on Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Here's an opportunity for you to get up to 75% off many of the resources you hear us promote on Issues Etc. It's Concordia Publishing House's warehouse sale from 8 in the morning till noon on Saturday, November 3rd. Concordia Publishing House is located south of Interstate 44 at 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis. The 2012 warehouse sale, Saturday morning, November the 3rd at Concordia Publishing House, 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.